In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. Many of us probably have the practice of keeping a to-do list. A to-do list in the home, a to-do list in our work, a to-do list of things that we just, priorities that we need to take care of during the week, whatever they may be. And you jot them down, maybe, and as you do them, you check them off on the list. And by the end of the day or by the end of the week, you look at your list of things to do, and if you got them accomplished, it was a successful day, it was a successful week. If you got things done in the home and there's satisfaction, you got things done at the work, and you can rest in peace. The rich young ruler, this rich young man, in today's gospel, also had his checklist. He had the tasks he needed to accomplish for eternal life, and he checked them off. His checklist was the Ten Commandments. And so when our Lord asked him, "Have you done this? Have you done that? Have you not murdered? Have you not stolen? Have you not committed adultery?" And the man said, "Yes, yes, and yes." And we do not need to doubt the young rich man's response that he's fulfilled the Ten Commandments, the law, faithfully. He was probably being very honest. And so he comes to our Lord. He comes to this Jesus of Nazareth. He sees him as a rabbi, another teacher. So he asks him, "What more commandments are there that I need to do to ensure my eternal salvation?" And Jesus the Christ responds thus: "Sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come, follow me." And for a man with many possessions, he was a rich young ruler, so this is a man who had many possessions, a man who had power, a man who had prestige, a man who probably had servants, people working for him. The challenge proved too great for him, and he walked away downcast. What the Lord asked this man to do was, in fact, humanly impossible, at least by human effort alone. He asked this rich young man to treasure God, to love God so much and more than anything else and anyone else in his entire life, to treasure his relationship with God more than anyone or anything, including his own self, more. And humanly speaking, that is impossible. And that's the point of today's gospel passage, and that's why today's passage ends with that divine exhortation. Things men cannot do alone, they can do with God's help. That's the core of the teaching. That's the core of today's preach. Sometimes I think we get too much caught up in, oh, this is a condemnation of the rich man. This is a condemnation of wealth and so forth. And that's not the point. That's not the point. Note, this rich young ruler is nameless. St. Luke never names him on purpose, because every single person, you and I, are that rich young ruler. We may not have the wealth as that young man has, but we have our attachments. If we're honest, honest reflection tells us each in our own hearts, there are things that we treasure in life more than God. It may even be our own bodies. It may be our own souls that we hold back from God on. It may be a loved one that we really do love more than God. It may be a certain talent we have in our life. It may be a certain thing in our life. We all have something or someone that we do love more than God. At the heart of today's passage is this divine commandment to eradicate, first of all human thinking that by human effort alone I can achieve salvation, and to therefore eradicate from one's vocabulary and thinking that eternal life is a to-do list, because the to-do list is now about me and what I'm going to do. And God, just give me the list of things I need to check off, and I'm on my way to eternal salvation. The challenge Jesus the Christ gives to you and me as he gave to that rich young man cuts it to the quick. Stop thinking of your relationship with God in terms of a law, a contract, an agreement, a set of behaviors, the to-do list. That nameless rich young man is you and me, because we all fall in that trap. We all fall into that trap that somehow I'm going to make it. But what's the heart of the law, really? To love God selflessly, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might and strength. And to love creation selflessly, and to love your neighbor selflessly, perfectly, always, and in every moment. Who in the world has ever done that except Our Lady? The divine challenge shook that rich young ruler. Shook him out of his self-delusion. Shook him out of his complacency. Shook him out of his arrogance. Shook him out of his false self-confidence. Shook him out of his misunderstandings about what this is all about, this law. It's not a to-do list. And it's not by your human efforts. Anybody can follow the Ten Commandments. Anybody. The atheist can follow the Ten Commandments. The pagan can follow. The Shinto believer, the Hindu, anybody can follow the Ten Commandments. That's not special. That's not unique. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Every human being is not supposed to be killing. Every human being is supposed to be worshiping something supreme. Every human being is not supposed to be cheating on his spouse. That's not the difficulty. Perhaps the church hears this gospel passage at this time in the year, at the time of the Nativity fast, to be jolted out of our complacency, to be jolted out of our delusion, to be jolted out of our false sense of self-confidence. Eternal life is not a checklist of things to do, all the more by human effort. It's about selfless love of God. It's about God being your first love and your first choice, always and everywhere. And we know we don't do that. The just man tells us, the scriptures tell us, sin seven times a day. The righteous man in the Old Testament. The righteous man in the Old Testament is the saint. So the saint of the Old Testament, we're told by divine scripture, falls seven times a day. So we're all missing the mark. As we continue then to prepare for the coming of our Lord at Christmas, we would do well to remember that the great feast is not celebrating the birth of a new lawgiver, a new religious teacher, or one more spiritual guru in the history of mankind. Were Jesus of Nazareth simply one more prophet bringing another law or another spiritual way, Christmas would be a joyless event. Who rejoices? Who celebrates at the more laws, more burdens, and more tasks to do? No, more laws, more burdens, more tasks to do only brings greater anxieties and greater fears, greater feelings of guilt. On the contrary, for 2,000 years, the church, heeding the angelic announcement on Christmas night, rejoices and celebrates at the nativity of Jesus the Christ, because the coming of Christ is something the law could never do. Jesus the Christ made the human person a partaker in the divine nature. The event of Christmas made the human person a sharer in the very holiness of God. That's a wonder. That's an amazement. It's ineffable, as our liturgy continues to use that word. Ineffable. Words can't capture the event of Christmas and everything else that our Lord did for us. The eternal Son of God came to make what was impossible possible. Things that men cannot do alone, they can do with God's help. What had been corrupted and became mortal in Christ now becomes incorruptible and immortal. Let the season of nativity fast, therefore, jolt you and me out of a legalistic mindset in our relationship with God. God did not become man in order to lay upon you and me more burdens and more laws and more to-dos. He came that you and I may have life, and have that life abundantly. He came that he may abide in us and we in him. That, my brothers and sisters, is the authentic joy and the genuine peace given to you and me on Christmas. The Nativity Fast is a period of metanoia, a reorienting one's life back to God, looking at God again, looking at who should be your true treasure in life, your first love. And this season calls you and me to an honest inventory, to take an honest inventory of one's personal sins, and bring those sins into prayer, and bring those sins to the mystery of confession, seeking divine help, because things men cannot do alone, they can do with God's help. The Nativity Fast, while we as Melchizedek have not begun the strict food fast, we are still in the Nativity preparation. And this time of preparation, keep it always before your eyes. If you have to, put it on your mirror, put it in your car, put it wherever you look in your home all day long at your office. This is what we were preparing to do. Receive a person, not a law. Because things men cannot do alone, they can do with God's help. Christ is among us.